Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And you know why we're here. Number one, for you, you make this program by being our special guest every week. And more than that, we hope to raise your expectations. We hope to lift you up, encourage you, and strengthen you in all walks of life, whatever your endeavors might be. We're really looking forward to our special guest tonight. I know you've been following us on the social medias and seeing who this is going to be, but we always do this very quickly because I always have people asking. I want you to meet our co-host. I'm Joe Schofield, and I'm really blessed to have with me special guest here as our co-host each and every week. We have Dr. Paul Hall, who's not a retired theologian, as we so often say. He's a theologian that is theologing along because he has great things to say, and I'm sure you'll look forward to hearing from Paul, my friend, by the grace of God, for over 50 years. Also, we have with us Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. He's a Top Gun pilot, a trainer. He flew an F-14 Tomcat and protected our nation. We tip
actually,
our
that was Nancy.
Oh, is that Nancy? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just a house husband.
And everything that we have done.
I'm not bitter.
That's right. So okay. Our hats are off to you. Thanks for taking good care of us, Rob. And Nancy, thanks for taking care of Rob. Appreciate that.
Okay. Somebody's got to do it.
As we move along now. Also, we're excited. We've got a lot of great reports this week back from listeners about last week's COVID update that came from our very own co-host, Dr. Craig, as we endearingly call him Tank, who is a special surgeon, and he deals with people who come in trauma situations. And the thing we love to hear, as we often say, is that the people who haven't heard a doctor say, this doctor not only cares about us, but loves us as a doctor should. And his wife, Stephanie, who teaches a wellness clinic across the nation. She deals with health and wellness, keeping us all in shape, but not just on what you eat or who you are, but also from the inside out, getting to know yourself, who you are. All of us are people of faith, and as you listen, most of you are. And if you're not, we hope we'll persuade you that, you know, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and being a man and a woman of faith makes those expectations even greater. So tonight we have a guest that we're anxious to share with you. And I have a little different setup tonight. This lady you're going to meet, I've never had the privilege of meeting, but I feel like I know her. She is kind of the star of Texas in many, many ways. She calls herself, has coined herself, and people have shared the same name to me, the Texas Renaissance Woman. She's a Weatherford resident. She has been an inspiring background in her life as an FBI counterintelligence. She's trained explosive detecting canines. If you love dogs, those are the dogs that do jobs we can hardly believe. And she's been great in developing cybersecurity. And boy, do we need that in the nation today. As we look at what's going on in the world today, it's really a very important need. We could tell you a lot more about that, but I'm sure you'd rather hear her talk than me to share, because she's got an awful lot to share. So we want to welcome you. Ladies and gentlemen, all the team, we're all in this thing together. I praise God for you guys. Let's welcome tonight our special guest, Janine Cunnell, or Janine Wright Cunnell, I'm sorry. Janine, welcome to Raising Expectations. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here.
Hi, Janine.
Hi there.
Tell us,
you know, you talk about all the chaos, all that's going. You use the term "all that's going on in this world," right?
Yes.
One of my favorite things to live out as a Texas Renaissance woman, so to speak, is I feel like that the chaos in the world is actually it's activating people's destinies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing how that's working. It's like the more the pressure cooker comes on, people start stepping into their destiny. So I look at it as a positive thing. So it's been something that's been, and looking at that from a positive perspective is part of what has made me step to the forefront in the state of Texas. So thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad you're with us. Yes.
And thank you for being here.
Ask a question, Rob. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Sorry.
You're first. Go ahead.
I have a million questions, but one of the things that I thought was really interesting, well, there's many things that I find interesting since we've been rescuing dogs for about 20-some years, is you obviously have an affinity for canines, and you have actually trained bomb sniffer dogs. How did that come about?
You know, it's crazy, but I was actually a news anchor for CBS for Gaylord Broadcasting in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And as a newscaster, you back in those days, I hate using those words because we're supposed to be like, what did we say, Joe? We said today that although I'm 60, I'm really 40. Or something like that. But back in those days, there was really there was no such thing as bomb dogs in anything except the military. And I was running with the SWAT team for the city of Fort Worth at the time, and was getting pages in the middle of the night of, you know, drug bust or whatever it was. And I was in the process of the year-long paperwork that is required to be accepted into the FBI. And what happened was 9/11. And right at that moment, they purchased a bomb dog for me, or an explosive detection canine, from Nottingham, England. And I went and retrieved him. And he was an English lab that was knighted by the Queen of England. And so he trained in Ireland. So what was so amazing about him, that was what launched me into the stratosphere there, was he was the only dog in the state of Texas that worked off lead. So I could send him into a crisis scenario or into a venue, and he would follow my hand directions from far away, and I would not have to follow him. So one of our first huge jobs, if you will, for the FBI was the Columbia space shuttle disaster. We sent our dogs out there, and his name is Sir Bartholomew, but because he was trained in Ireland, he knew how to detect explosives and burning and the scent of what happened in the space shuttle Columbia disaster from like a mile away. Mm-hmm. And so he was very successful in discovering and finding out. That was a very tragic event and very difficult to live through. But then 9/11 was also something that he was hired to do. So when Mint became a huge sensation, I had this brainstorm idea. I need to breed him. He's amazing. So I got me a breeder from Nottingham, England, and brought her over and started breeding bomb dogs here in Weatherford, Texas.
Awesome.
So, you know, the thing that's amazing about the bomb dogs is they, or you know this, I mean, you know animals, period, right? I mean, they are so passionate to please and to do what they're best at. And I used to always do speaking engagements, and I would tell people, if you would just do what you're amazing at and stop looking at the rest of the world, you would be a rock star. And so Mint and I would go to speaking engagements. I even this is crazy, but I remember one time I went to this church that was run by a famous, I can't remember the famous preacher, but Kenneth Copeland. He has a church, and they invited me to come there and speak, and I brought my bomb dog with me, and I hid explosives in there to show the parishioners how that went. And anyway, needless to say, that was like the talk of the town, because I think I kind of stepped way outside the box on that one. So I love animals, as you can tell. So that's part of my Renaissance woman thing, right? I live on a ranch, so I manage my horses, and I have goats and all of that that pay my taxes for me, because I have an ag.
We lost you for a second. You said they cover your ag. It's probably, do you have ag land now or something?
They pay your taxes or something. How does that work with animals? I mean, they don't have thumbs.
I know, right? So I got to notice that my internet connection is unstable because we're having severe thunderstorms. So my apologies.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
But yes, in the agricultural exemption in the state of Texas, when you have so many farm animals that you raise, your taxes are very low. So that's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah. And for those that don't understand off-lead, that's where you take the leash off the dog and let them go and do what they do. For our listening audience, just saying. Right? I hope I'm right.
No, you're right. You're right, Rob. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting about that is that back in that day, George and Laura Bush really, they requested me to come to their event. And back in that day, I'm almost embarrassed to admit, because as a Christian, I feel like I should have probably had more wisdom and intuition, right? But it's difficult for me in retrospect to realize that I worked so closely with people that were not, that were kind of selling our country out. And, and so I look in retrospect and I think, oh my God, was I blinded by, I'm supposed to be an amazing rock star investigator. And here I am working closely with people that, were doing things that are just baffling us at this moment. So, you know, and it's the same thing with, you know, Jim Comey, was actually one of my boss's boss's boss. I mean, I was way down on the totem pole, but I adored him. I mean, I thought he was the most amazing communicator and the amazing. And so I had to go through a lot of healing in the last couple of years to forgive myself, because you're sort of trained, you know this because of what you did, you're sort of trained to be a little bit arrogant and a little bit prideful, and you're the you know, elite and the top of the whatever. And in reality, we're all just the same. We're all human beings. We all have faults. We all have amazing things we do and not so amazing things we do. And that was so I went through a very healing process to not only get rid of the spirit of pride on my life, to think I was such an amazing bad A. I don't think I can say the real word on here, but I'm not sure. I didn't get those rules, Joe.
We have no rules.
No rules.
A bad butt? Is that okay?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that'll work for the guys. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I had to get healing from that, because I thought I was, and then I realized how I could work so closely with someone and not realize that they were being compromised. And that was supposed to be my specialty in counterintelligence. God help me. So anyway, but I'm actually free now. And so the freedom that I have and that I experience, I just give to others. And because nobody gives much anymore, I heard you talking earlier. Who was it was talking about wearing masks and all that? Was that you, Rob?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm very much opposed to the whole
thing.
And, you know, I could go into conspiracy theory stuff, but basically I'm 67. I'm not afraid of this. I don't think this country was founded by fearful men. And I think we've lost that because, you know, everybody on social media is bragging about how many shots they got or which shot they got or which company provided the shots. And Nancy and I are like, I don't want any shots. You know,
we're going to wait and see.
Yeah.
We're going to wait and see.
That's right. And by the way, Janine, I have to mention your website and your blogs really bring home. In fact, after reading your blogs, I realized that, well, we're all kindred spirits here. Every single last one of us. And whether you've read them or not, you should. There was a, I think your most recent one was like The Blind Spot or Head in the Sand. And I thought that it really hit all the right buttons about, you know, the political differences, the America being divided, the mainstream media manipulating and lying and distorting, and, you know, they're focusing on, and you were focusing on the similarities that all Americans have and not so much the differences, which obviously both the media and social media seems to be emphasizing, which drives me crazy and probably drives you crazy too, Janine.
It does, because everybody, the government and the powers that be, I call them PTB, are actually, that's part of the master plan to not only exhaust us to where we walk around in a stupor, which is why I coined the phrase flashbang journalism, because I, you know, all, in fact, everybody on here, I mean, I'm sure even our doctors know what have experienced in your charity work, what flashbangs but flashbang goes off, it puts you in a stupor and you're incapable of responding. And I think that the drama that's going on in the world, their goal is to get us to where we, you know, I say this and I'm not popular for saying this, but I might as well say it since you're so bold, Rob, I'm going to be bold. One of the things that I always say is that I desire that Christians get off their knees and out of their prayer closet and get out and start fighting. I realize that we are supposed to pray and we're supposed to be in our prayer closet, but those days should have been something you built your foundation on. Now it's time to activate.
That's right, which is why we have a lot of personal firearms, among other things. But also, you mentioned flashbang journalism, which I think was one of your other blogs. And that had to do, I think, with, you know, how the politicians and lobbyists and big tech and the media distort and twist information and disseminate it to the general public to the point where they just accept whatever they're told, and people like us don't even know what to believe anymore.
Yeah. You know, that's so true. I hate to confess my sins on, you know, worldwide BBC, but one of the things that we used to say at the FBI when we would have our closed door meetings down in a secret area is we would call the American people sheeple. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of an arrogant statement, because we would say, well, we're doing what we're doing because the sheeple can't manage their own lives. Mm-hmm. And I, that should have been the first clue for me to realize that I was being sucked into a vortex of counterfeit and deception, right? Because that's the way the enemy works. He takes everything that God did and he develops counterfeit. And so it slips in kind of sneaky where you don't realize that you're operating in the counterfeit anointing instead of the real anointing. So, but in retrospect, I mean, at the end of the day, I have been freed from that perspective. But it's just a shame that our world is this far gone. And that's why I'm so thankful for shows like this, because I read a lot of your reviews and people are like, thank you for speaking the truth. Thank you for bringing us people that are telling us the truth, because we don't know what to believe anymore.
So. That's right. And that's why we're glad to have you, Janine.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think about Tom Landry. You remember, I know Dallas, it's a good one. The Dallas Cowboys will be good with you, Janine. But Tom Landry said once, you know, we can run the most unique and wonderful plays ever designed for a team, but if we never break the huddle and let Staubach, Navy man, get his hands on the ball, we're never going to score, right? So he said we need to break the huddle and run the play. And as Christians, we need to do that. We need to push back. And God gives us ways to push back. lovingly, caringly, but absolutely in strength what the truth is. And I think that's important what you were saying at that point. Yeah, what do you think, Stephanie?
Oh boy, I think one of the challenges that we have, especially in the believing community, is that sometimes when we speak up, we forget to be doing it in a loving way and from a good place, and it just comes out as anger. And I unfortunately have seen a lot of wonderful believers really damage and hurt relationships and turn people away from God because of how they're going about it. And you see it on the liberal side as well, but I think we have to be very wise in how we go about it. I do think we need to get off the bench, but our character, that's up to us, right? We need to have God lead us in what we are doing. And it's hard to do when you're really passionate or very upset about something, right? So I think we walk a fine line. And, you know, I've read statistics that if you have 3-4% of a population peacefully protesting or swaying the media, that is enough to make significant change for an entire community. We have so many evangelicals. If we did that, just imagine what could happen, right?
That's right. I remember real quick, and I'm out of here, but there's one saying that's so important, or what you said. We need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, right, Paul? You remember that, Dr. Hall?
Sure. You know, Janine, I appreciate so much you being with us tonight and the message that you have to share. You know, speaking from a pastor's standpoint, looking back, I can remember how many times that I would bring to the people God had entrusted to my care the concepts of spiritual warfare. Anytime you bring up spiritual warfare, it's all of a sudden like deer in a headlight. You know, like, what does that mean? I mean, we're supposed to love everybody and we're supposed to do this and do this. And warfare, are you talking, you know, warfare? And then I thought about, and when I read your blog today, and Rob, thanks for bringing that up, because there were some really excellent points in there about helping us to remember what holds us together rather than divides us and drives wedges in there. But I was thinking about the person of Jesus and what a revolutionary character he was. Not only his character, his message obviously was revolutionary. I mean, it shook things up. And basically, who wanted to get rid of him? The religious types. You know, they're the ones that had, you know, all figured out. I'd like to ask you a question, Janine, and I've asked other guests before because I'm trying to, you know, put this together in my own head. When we talk about getting off our knees and getting actively engaged with other people, and I think we would all certainly give to the point that we seem to be in a mess in our country, you know? What are some concrete things that you, as a follower of Christ, some important lessons you've learned along the way, especially in terms of speaking truth to power? What are some of the lessons that you've learned that maybe we could put in our quiver, you know, maybe one of the arrows to make available to us? Can you address that for me?
You know, this is a unique thing for me, but I'm going to explain to you real quick how the domestic terrorism squad, I don't think they have domestic terrorism at the FBI anymore. I think now it's mostly intelligence. But back then, a domestic terrorism squad, the thing that was so amazing is that they were a close-knit squad that came together, each one of us, each one on the squad of the 12 people. We came together based on our unique skill set. So if my skill set was writing algorithms and doing the intelligence side where I could write strings and we could say, if this happens, then this happens, and I could work in the cyber world, then we had somebody else that was a master of weaponry and someone else that was a master of something else. And what that was one of the huge successes back in the day of the FBI. Is that everybody brought, you find a squad of people who everyone has a different skill set, and you embrace each other with your skill set, and then you integrate that into a squad mentality. So if we had groups of 12 people throughout the United States that had the skill sets of being Because your skill set is not just being a doctor, right? Or not just being a pastor. Mm-hmm. Your skill set is communication, or your skill set is detail or fine tuning or something like that. And so it doesn't have to be all shoot 'em up, you know, tough muscle bound, you know, fighting whatever, right? Because that's where my mindset always was. And when those people unite, and we had those teams throughout the United States that would just refine their skills, embrace each other, and then we would all connect, we would be unstoppable. But the problem with humans right now that I see is that we are being trained to look at each other as being different and unacceptable. And here's the point. I have people that write me in my private message that say, when you told your story about getting your nails done and the grocery guy brought you free groceries, that changed my life and I want to be part of your team. So what you have to realize is that even the simple things in life that you do, if you are joyful and transparent and lighthearted and loving, and speaking in love and embracing people, you don't have to tell people anything about their lifestyle, anything about what they do or don't read, what they do or don't do. It is all about changing the atmosphere, Paul. When you step into the room, your presence changes the atmosphere. And I'm going to tell you, I learned that from a very unique source. So I hope not to offend your listeners. But Bibi Netanyahu, I can tell you that back in the day, I would be sitting in the war room in Israel. That man would walk in the room behind me, and I had no way to know he walked in. And the atmosphere in the room changed when he walked in the room. If we would embrace that and allow who we are to change the atmosphere of the room, trust me, you don't need to tell anybody who you are or what you do or what your skill set is, because our joy and our love and our power for one another is going to be so captivating to people that they are going to, you know how we used to talk about being fishers of men? There's no more fishing. They're going to start jumping in our boat without fishing. So that is my joyful tidbit. I hope that was encapsulated enough, because I have a tendency, I haven't used my 50,000 words yet today. So I hope that was concise enough to help you see how amazing it is if we could join together as a squad and accept each other. And I appreciate you for what you do. I appreciate Stephanie for what she does. I appreciate everyone for what their skill set is. And if we would lock arms and say, okay, let's go forward, we would be unstoppable.
And if I could speak to that for just a second. And Joe, I'll just take a second here. I think reason that Joe and I, we've remained friends 50 plus years, but we used to travel together doing youth revivals in Texas. We had a lot of great times together. I think we have a shared understanding, perhaps shared philosophy. I always saw it as my job as a pastor. I really didn't have to tell people what it was like to walk in the dark. They understood the dark very well. Okay. My job was to describe what it's like to walk in the light, because the scripture says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light. And so describing that light, and I appreciate what you had to say, Janine, because that's the light. Right. You know, loving and Steph, what you mentioned, loving in the spirit of Christ, you know, we don't have to condemn. But I love what you said about the temperature of the room changing when you walk in. That's what Christ does. Well, he delights to do that if we just let him do that. So that's my preaching. OK, sorry, Jim.
No, that's good. Hey, Janine, in just a minute, we want you to come back too as you're sharing. Appreciate what you're saying about, we want to share about a very special couple, a small commercial here. We have some great friends down near Houston, Texas, and Joe Duran and his wife and his father and family. He has a tremendous new company, and it's called 4D is in Duran Financial. And the wonderful thing about this is, and listen to this, guys, this is really good. Saving for retirement, educational funding, income protection, building your financial future. Got just a couple of bullets here we want to show you. And also, we have a sign. We're going to be playing like Hollywood Squares in a way. You can see all the squares up there, but one of them is going to have a sign in a moment. It's going to have a website for you to go to. While I spend 30 seconds here, I want to share a couple of key things. Who do you want to help you discover the financial things you face in the world today? One, you want somebody who loves the Lord, somebody who's a man and a woman of faith, a family business. Joe and his family at 4D, they are a family-run business. Saving for retirement. There's so many new ways. They're going to help you to find those. Investments on savings. They're going to teach you how to invest, what to do with savings you have, and where to go from there. And they're going to use biblical principles also to help you. They're going to teach you to get out of debt. Maybe you've never been in debt. Most people I know have been. They're going to give you a way out. Saving for children's college, properly protecting your income. You can help anybody. And you think about this, they will help anybody anywhere. And the financial plan that they will work with you, listen to this, this is really good, is completely complimentary, no charge. They want to be your financial people for the rest of your life, and they're going to invest in you before you invest in them. Now, quickly, here's one side bullet I want to share with you. They're looking, listen close, they're looking for people who want to join their team, whether part-time or career transition, whatever it might be, coming through the COVID situation. There's no experience. If you know anything this way in finances, they will help you, whatever state you're listening to. And if you're in another country, I bet they can help you with that too. They'll take care of the required license. They'll pay you. They'll show you all 50 states. So we just want to tell you one more time. You can see the sign. How do we do on that sign? I miss seeing it. Did you get it up there? Hey, check that sign out, folks. Joe Duran, there's the website. Learn with us. team.com, and there's the phone number. You don't want to miss that phone number. It's right there for you, and they're looking forward. They want to change your I'm worried instead to I'm ready for whatever I face. Good luck, Joe. We're with you all. Love and appreciate you, and we'll be backing you. All right, Janine, thanks so much for giving us a break there. Guys, they've got a book, and thank you for our tremendous technical crew with a great sign you put up there.
Boy, that was awesome. You know, that sign was made out of our 13-gallon garbage bag because we believe in recycling.
Also, let me speak.
Okay.
I was on a poster board and cardboard, and you gave me, like, an hour or two to come up with something. So, sorry, it does not diminish the message.
Yeah, even though we see it backwards, so it makes us dyslexic.
But it looks good here. We're going to cover dyslexia in 2 weeks. Don't worry, that's coming up.
I think the relative.
No offense to Joe Duran at all. It was just.
By the way, Joe Duran, I don't know if you guys knew this, he's from Zimbabwe originally.
There you go.
Which is formerly Rhodesia. And I used to live in South Africa, which was the southern neighbor of Zimbabwe, which used to be the breadbasket of Southern Africa.
Anywhere in the world, Robbie's ready to help you. But yeah. as we move along, looking at what we've got here, and by the way, the artwork was so good, Nancy, the relatives of Cecil B. DeMille will be texting in to find out how we did that. So we'll fill them in on that. But anyway, moving right along.
I think Jenny might have a question.
Let me see those smiles, folks. All right. We have a new book that is coming out with Amazon coming out all over. We want Janine to share with us somewhat from her experience as she has been also about her new book, The Overcomers. So, Janine, tell us a little bit about that book. And folks, jump in there with questions you've got. I know you've been thinking about these, Janine.
Yeah, and we expect to have a signed copy of your book sent to all of us.
I know. And so I sent copies without signing them. So I'll send more and you can just give those away.
No, we're going to keep them forever. You're never going away. You're
you
stuck.
Know, being a person that did cyber, it's insane that I couldn't figure out your names and be able to, but it's just one of those things. I'm sorry about that.
We're nobody.
No,
I explained what the overcomers were when you asked me a question earlier, when Paul asked me. Basically, I used the people in the cases that were on my squad on both domestic terrorism and counterintelligence. I worked for a brief time on the violent crime squad and supported them. And what the Overcomers is an amazing, brilliant idea by, it certainly didn't come from me. I feel like God gave me the idea. I really didn't set out to be an author, but I realized I had a story that needed to be told. And my aim was to bring the reader of the Overcomers, into walking into their destiny in a covert way. So I was tired of reading Christian novels. And so what I did is I wrote a novel that has a Christian worldview, but it's covertly imparting that worldview to the readers so that it's not something where they just throw down and say, this is a Christian novel, I'm not going to read it. So I have to tell you, there's people in the government that have actually read it. And they have written me emails and said, I want to be an overcomer. So, and of course, all of you know what an overcomer is. Overcomer is one who does exploits in the last days. There's someone who walks fearless and walks with wisdom. And as Stephanie said, wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. And they, the overcomers in my book, they take you on a journey, and it will change the human being reading the book by the time they get to the book. It is so amazing how that works. But I think that's the way a novel works, because I never really was into novels my whole life. I felt like God said, write a novel, because that will cause people to let down their guard, and they will read it as if it's something that's not true. And then you impart truth in something in a covert way, which is what I was a rock star at. In fact, in my world, we call it covert, or we call it a dead drop, right? So a dead drop is where you drop something, no one sees you drop it, and then the person goes and retrieves it, and they get the intelligence that they need, and no one seems to know what that intelligence was. We don't do dead drops that much in today's world because there's so much cyber intelligence. But back in the day, we would leave notes under, you know, the bridge for our asset to find. So,
now, Janine, in your previous life in the interagency or the domestic terrorist task force, was that an interagency thing, or was that exclusively FBI?
No, so that's how I wrote the book. It's an interagency thing. And that was what was so amazing about it that I was explaining to Pastor Hall. What we did is that the FBI was not the be-all, end-all, know-all, because we were just feds. But we needed local sheriffs and local police departments and tribal folks and folks from all walks of life to come in. And everybody brought their skill set. And I'm telling you, we were over the top amazing when we lowered our value of ourselves, our mental, like, you know, we're the feds and we're going to come in and do things. We lowered our value of ourselves, and we embraced the integration of the local and the state community, we started those task forces, and they were over the top successful. And so I said to myself, if we could have an overcomer task force where every one of you on the screen today would join together and bring our skill sets to what we need to accomplish in the world today, because we all come from all crazy walks of life that none of us have anything in common in the natural except Jesus, right? But at the end of the day, if we brought our skill sets that we were trained for the last, well, everybody's probably not 60, because Rob's
like, is older than me.
But if we could bring what we have trained on for the last 6 decades, what has built muscle in our lives together, that's what it is, Commander. We accepted everybody into their position. And if overcomers would do that instead of being Baptist, or instead of making religion the thing that we focus on, but it is the people that need the love of God, then we bring our skill sets. We would be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. We were at the FBI. And you know what? It's little silly things that you don't think are important. Like when you need to go, and I'm not even sure I'm supposed to say this. Let me think a second.
Anything you want.
I have to think about, I have to like translate in my brain what's classic, what I can and can't say.
Whatever you want.
Well, I know, but there's probably people from you know where, the three letters, watching me, so I have to be careful.
We don't care.
But here's one of the things that's amazing about embracing your brothers, regardless of whether you see them physically as your brothers or even mentally or spiritually as your brothers. If you accept any of their triune being as your brother, they bring a skill set to the table, and you can overcome the rest. That's all what God is so brilliant at. But one of the things we did in the actual squads is when we had to go arrest someone because of something horrific they were doing, like when we worked in when I worked in the Innocent Images squad, the ICE, back then it was called ICE, they had the ability to get arrest warrants and subpoenas like that. Whereas the FBI, it would take mounds of paperwork that took weeks to take care of. And by then, the person would escape. Mm-hmm. So even something as minor as the ability to process paperwork that was outside of the red tape brought value to the table. So everybody didn't have to be a bad boy with a gun or brilliant in cyber. If you just knew how to get the paperwork through the process, you would help the team accomplish the mission. And so thank you for asking that, because that's what I think overcomers are. I think if we would operate as a team and accept each other's skill sets, we would be rock stars.
Ready to go?
Hey, Janine, I have a question for you. So at the very beginning of this, you said that you thought during this stay home time that we've had this last year, that people are rising to their destiny. And you just piqued my interest so much when you said that, because one of my goals is positivity and encouragement. And it really doesn't matter what you're doing, how you're serving, if people know you care, everything else changes. So I'm so curious what clarity you've had with your destiny in this last year.
So I was very passionate and kind of wild in the political world, like really wild.
And in a good way.
In a good way. But thankfully, I'm not one of the people that got arrested for being wild. But I'm one of those people that I want to go out with a bang. So if y'all ever need somebody on the front lines, call me, because I'm your girl. And so one of the things that changed in me is when I have a group in my community, and we're called the Right Side of Texas. And it's a group of people in the community of my county that woke up, you know, red pills, so to speak. And they said, wait a minute, we're not teaching American history at school anymore. wait a minute, we're teaching sex education that says what to my third grader? And yep. So I started a group of people that came together. And what I realized, Stephanie, is that they were so passionate about stepping out of their safe zone and hiding away in their homes underneath their mask and in fear and getting together in these small little groups, because the chaos outside caused the passion in them to rise up and say, hang on a minute, I think maybe I have been passive for too long. And they're only stepping up to seek what the truth is and how they can activate. So then that changed me, because guess what? You're not going to believe this. I had a girl that just moved here from Poland that I asked to speak to our group to tell us from her perspective, and she was very difficult to understand, her English, if we were moving into a socialist communist society. And she went line by line, Stephanie, to explain how masking is exactly what they went through in their country before they took away their weapons. And they used to have to stand in line to get toilet paper, and they would get in trouble for buying two rolls of paper towels, and they would take it away from them. And she said, I'm telling you, people, if you can't see in America that what is going on, you are blind. And so that is what changed my entire world, because I realized that I was enjoying the freedoms of America in a passive way, in an arrogant way, in a way that I was not paying attention to my neighbor. And I'm telling you, if you would just open your eyes for half a second and realize and listen to the story of the person standing next to you in the line at the grocery store, you would be surprised. People would be surprised how much we do have in common. And so that's what changed my whole life last year, because I, for some reason, living underground in counterintelligence, I've lived in the same county for 25 years and no one knew who I was. It was so stressful coming out and being a member of the community, because I was rejected a lot. And it was very, very distressing for me. And I was very insecure and didn't know how to talk. I didn't know what to talk about, because I can't talk about anything I did. But then I'm having to think about, oh, what do people talk about? And so then I realized there's a lot of people like me out there that just want somebody to help them talk and express their story. So that's right. That.
Well, you can always use a line if I told you I'd have to kill you, but that's.
Janine, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Tank, do you have any questions?
Yeah.
When we first signed in, and my wife and I saw you, you are the light. You are like, the person that walks in the room and raises the temperature. And I can't believe how many skills you have in your skill set. And now you've got a book that I think is going to open huge doors for you to speak in large numbers to people and motivate them. I wonder what you think your course is from this point on.
Well, let me gain my composure for a second. You know, I don't often have people. That's kind of amazing. I'm not used to what you just did. So thank you. That's kind of.
You're a broadcaster. You analyze people's minds in the internet world and in real life. It's the talent, the skills that you've been given are going to be used.
Thank you. I am. So ask me your question again, because I'm recovering.
So you have a book that I think is going to open doors. What doors do you want to go through?
You know, I perceive myself to be living in a secret compartment intelligence world underground. And I spent so much of my life looking at the underbelly of society that I used to get distressed that, and that's why Paul is so valuable to me, because I used to get distressed thinking that pastors lived in their community of their church members and had no idea the devastation that was going on out in the world. And I wanted to just get up and say, you have no idea how many pedophiles I interviewed this week and almost got fired because I would jump across the table and want to choke them when they would be writing their confession. And so I don't know exactly what that is because I don't feel like I'm a speaker. You know, I've always been alone and I live alone and I run my ranch alone and I did counterintelligence alone. So that's kind of a scary thought to me. But I do feel like I have the mind, I have a mind that is like the mind of Christ, where I, to be honest with you, I wake up every morning and I throw my hands in the air and I say, God, my answer today is yes. Mm-hmm. So whatever you want today, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way I live every day. So whatever happens that day, my answer is yes. And so I woke up the day before yesterday and I said, my answer is yes. And I heard these words, nope, I'm not taking that today. And I'm like, what? And God said, today is my day to say yes. And I am telling you, I had the most crazy, wild, amazing, successful day I've ever had in 60 years, the day before yesterday when God said yes to me. And it was simply because I lived in freedom and I was not entangled by the affairs of this world. I'm not beholden to money, to a paycheck, to popularity. I don't care about any about that, but my beloved. And he is mine and I am his. And so I don't know what that looks like right now. So thank you for speaking that to me because you sowed like a huge seed and watered it all at the same time. Man. So thank you for that.
All right. Well, Tank, hey, thank you, Tank. That was a heartfelt. Now you know, Janine, why this surgeon is referred to by his patients as that's a doctor who doesn't believe in the Hippocratic Oath. He loves and appreciates us as people. And we feel so good to know that Craig Thayer is our surgeon. So we come to that time where we run out of time. That's the worst time of the whole program. But that was a great synopsis for us, Janine, sharing where your thoughts were there. And we'll have to have her back again. What do you say, folks?
We should make her a co-host, man.
There you go. Bring them on.
How do we get our hands on your book?
Yes, that's what we're going to right now, Stephanie.
Okay. Yeah, I like to read.
That's right.
So, tell them. So I sent you some.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Great. What about everybody else? How do they get them?
Because I was writing it when I was at the FBI, I wrote it under a pen name, J.L. McKay, J.L.M.C.K.A.Y. So you just type that in the Overcomers into Amazon and it'll pop up.
I found you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, dear friends, I tell you what, we've got a minute and a half. We do need to say we're going to go and get that book. We're going to tell everybody we know. Our prayer is that we'll all be overcomers, and we will take our gifts, like you said, and use them for the glory of God. And we love the United States. We love our nation, and we care about it. As far as it goes also here, you know, hey, Raising Expectations, we are a listener-supported radio program and television program. We want to say thank you to those that are giving. You know who you are, and I can't even say what it means, the blessing that you give as you're able to support us. But if you go to our website, just, Raising Expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Boom. Hit that door.
Yeah, we need to talk about that forward slash thing because I get confused all the time. Forward, backward, I don't know. I don't know.
That is.
We didn't even talk to Janine about this graphic novel that you wrote.
So in any event, that website picture, just go to the left side. It says donation. If you'll click that, everybody says it's PayPal. It's so easy. The thing will reach right back out of your computer and say, hand me that pin. We're ready to go. So you just find that and we'll be set to go. God bless you, Janine, and all, and bless your son as a pastor there in the Fort Worth area. And we'll just be praying that God continues to bless in your life and to use you and your gifts and all of us together that he may be glorified on a daily basis. Remember, folks, raise your expectations. We serve a great God. He's awesome. He has something special. So wake up, And watch out, he's ready for you, raising expectations. Thanks again, Janine. Let's all thank our guests, folks. We're so glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janine.
And Janine, you have to Facebook friend all of us.
Yes, I sent you a message.
I sent you a friend request. Okay, so you're doomed. You're stuck with us. There's all no right getting away from this.
Yeah, we're awesome. Done, TJ. Take us away, brother.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.